The student far away from home. Yeah, that's what season 2 is about. That's who season 2 is for. That's who we are talking to on this season of Youth 412. And that might be you right there, the student who is studying far away from home. And I'll be honest, I don't know what it's like to be a student studying far away from home. Yeah, I can't relate to you guys, but I know some people who study away from home and really understand the unique challenges that you guys face. I mean, my sister is studying in Bloemfontein and another friend of mine is studying in Hungary. And trust me, I have heard the many challenges that students far away from home face. I remember my sister telling me about the time that her NSFAS money hadn't come in and she was struggling for food. I mean, granted, she should have told us, but those are one of the many challenges that you guys face. I mean, she was even admitted to hospital and we couldn't even visit her because of how far she is from us. So, to some extent, I definitely understand what you guys go through. And I really sympathize and empathize to a level with what you guys go through. And so the question is, amidst all of these challenges, how are you able to be a better student? How are you able to be productive, to study better, to pass and do well while you are facing all of these challenges? I mean, the loneliness, the money, and making new friends, things like that. I mean, it's really, really crazy. So how do you maintain a high level of excellence in your studies while also going through all of those challenges? And most importantly, how do you maintain a relationship with God while you are far away from home? I mean, there's nobody who's watching you, so there's no one you can account to about your relationship with God. So it is quite difficult. I mean, I'm running out of breath as I'm speaking about this because, yeah, it's a whole lot. Yeah. But don't you worry, because this season is tailor-made for you, the student who's studying away from home. Whether you're in your first year or your second year, we have created this season for you to talk to you, to address the challenges that you face so that you can become a better student, but most importantly, a better Christian who's an example to other young believers in conversation, in spirit, in love, faith, and purity. Yeah, that's our main aim at the end of the day. And so I really, really am excited about this season, and I really can't wait for you guys to be a part of it, to listen to all the insights that have been shared by all the amazing guests. I mean, we'll be talking about so many different things, but I don't want to spoil anything for you because I know that it will come. And yeah, I really can't wait for you guys to hear everything that we have in store for you. So yeah, that being said, I think we can officially launch season 2 of the Youth 412 podcast. So yeah, it's time to dial it up because Youth 412 is on the line. Drop the beat. Sambudan tumilang abshe molweni, and welcome to Youth 412, where we engage in conversations which inspire, empower, and encourage us to be better Christians who are an example to other young believers in conversation, word, and spirit, and in love, faith, and purity. My name is Dohle Msanma, and I'm here back again on season 2 of the Youth 412 podcast. Guess what? We are back, and yeah, it has been very long, and I'm so excited to be here for the very first episode of the Youth 412 podcast season 2. And with me is my wonderful friend Ngobile Mdladla, who's decided to join us today. We are talking about something which is very interesting. But before we get started, I'd like you guys to get to know Ngobile a little bit better. So Ngobile, can you please tell us, how are you feeling today, and share with us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I'm very honored to have joined your podcast today. Thank you for inviting me. So my name is Ngobile Mdladla. I am a 20-year-old student, obviously a female, 1-year-old vegan, and I'm also a podcaster. I think that's all I'm comfortable sharing for now. Everything else, I think, will be relayed as time goes by.
All right, that's so awesome. And we'll probably ask you to share with us a little bit about your podcast a little bit later. Before we start, I was very curious to know, perhaps, very curious to know, Uguti, what's one weird thing that you do that nobody or a few people know about?
Weirdest, I think it's talking to myself. Like, I have a full-on conversation with myself. I don't think a lot of people know that. So yeah, that's one weird thing.
Oh, that's so amazing. I think I also have that same problem. I think maybe it's something that podcasters have. That's why we are podcasters.
Perhaps.
Okay, so today we are talking about being productive and dealing with the workload as a university students. Now, most of us as university students, know, Guti, that's one of the biggest things that people complain about. That all the workload that we experience when we are in university. So, what do you think are the things that we do, or perhaps not do, that make us, unable to manage all this workload that university brings?
From my experience, I think I've learned that time management is quite essential. I know we always talk about time management. It's easier said than done, but creating a timetable and actually sticking to it is what helps. When you hold yourself accountable for making sure that if I set today as a day to do whatever task, make sure that you do it. It also comes with passion and actually wanting to do what you need to do. You get?
Wow. And
Yeah.
so in terms of being accountable to yourself, how do you do that? Because sometimes it's so hard when you are the one having to push yourself or to do something, to do your work, your assignment, or whatever it is to study, especially if you are far away from home. How do you press yourself to be able to
Yeah.
do the things that you're supposed to do at the time that you're supposed to do them?
Well, planning and preparing requires an understanding of self, I'd say, and honesty with yourself, right? So you have to know what works for you and how you feel you get better results in using a certain system. So that's what I think. For my case, I'd share like some of my experiences and a bit of an example is I found that allocating time for certain tasks make it better. Like cutting down and minimizing the work makes it better. It makes it a whole lot better because I feel you can't study five chapters in one day and expect to know everything. So rather allocate time. So today is Monday, I'll do one chapter and that's it, an hour of just one chapter. It goes a long way. So, and also understanding your own study skills. I think a whole lot of people, including myself, I from grade one till matric, 12 years of schooling, I did not know how to study until university. That's when I learned what my study skills are. And I did some introspection and I understood what works for me and what doesn't. So, yeah.
You were speaking about, finding out about your study skills. How do you go about, discovering that? How did you find your study skills? Because I don't think I've found mine.
Funny enough, we actually learned this in life orientation in high school, but we thought it was useless, right? So we learned about audio learning, we learned about visual learning, but it never came to our minds that we might actually need these skills in actual life, you know? And that's where you find your strengths, you find your weaknesses. Myself, I know because my course requires me to go through a lot of context, a lot of text, a lot of reading. I'm a visual, I'd say a visual learner. And also, I don't think this is categorized in any way, but I also learn through conversation and discussions. So breaking down whatever I'm learning or reading into a conversation, even sometimes in vernac, that so that I can remember how things were set out, especially in cases. So I make them scenarios so I understand more like a story, more like how you remember series and how you remember movies and novels you read in your spare time, but you can't remember the context of whatever you're learning. So I break it down and transform that into that so that I can remember in that way. So I can start conversations about like, did you know in the Zaydenhood versus whoever this happened? But now it's, I created and make it something fun, something enjoyable. And also like charts and posters. If you see something often enough, I think it's bound to stay in your mind. So creating charts, creating posters around your room in a decorative way that kind of blends in also kind of helps you, I'd say, to remember. Like for me, that's how I learned the Constitution. I literally sat down and I drew up a whole poster.
Wow.
It felt like I wasted the day, but it was useful in the end of, at the end of the day.
And I was just about to ask that, you know, the time that it takes to actually create those things instead of like, you know, actually doing the studying itself. How do you reconcile those two ideas that this is actually, you know, worth the time that I'm taking? And how long should I take? Because perhaps someone might use that as an excuse not to study, just keep on making the posters and charts while actually not doing anything with them.
So you can make studying fun as long as you understand that you have to allocate time and you have certain constraints, obviously. So for assignments and things like that, I'd say we're usually given plus minus 2 to 3 weeks or maybe sometimes even a month. So you have to construct a timetable where each day you allocate at least an hour or two for that specific course and you stick to that. So in the case of making a chart, I would say if you want to spend the whole day, then make sure you finish it on that day and not spend several days working on something you're not going to finish, right? And in while you're making it fun, obviously you're learning something out of it. You can't just make something and it's fun and that's just it and it goes to waste. It also comes with it. And when you make it fun, it's more enjoyable, I find it. So I'd advise that someone tries it first, then they tell me how that goes. And if it's not worth it, then I don't know.
I'll definitely, you know, be trying those methods because, yeah, I actually don't look forward to studying. I don't do much of it these days. I'm very tired of it. But maybe if I start employing those techniques, things might start, you know, working for me. Looking at in terms of the practices that we can start employing as students, what are the practices that we should start employing?
I mean, of course, different things work for different people. However, I also feel like implementing a balanced and healthy lifestyle would also help. You know, I feel like we have this misconception of burning the midnight oil is the only way to get work done, you know. However, if we have healthy practices and lifestyles where we actually get a full night's rest, 7 hours, 8 hours of rest, after that you wake up and you allocate time for activities and tasks that you need to do. Also, going out for fresh air as well to clear your head and your mind, because I feel like those things also contribute to our lifestyles and how we approach our studies as well. You know, eating healthier and also just living a balanced lifestyle, I think, balancing out fun time as well as studying so that you don't feel the pressure of just education or school on your shoulders. I feel like that's the only way to find balance between life and school and knowing when to study, knowing when to have fun. I feel.
No, I think you are definitely on point. I think we do miss that sometimes as students, whereby we get so overwhelmed with, you know, so many things in school and we focus so much on school. Perhaps can you just dwell a little bit deeper, I guess, into this whole idea of rest, you know, the importance of rest, not sleeping perhaps, but like taking a break from, you know, school and making sure that you do other things so that, you know, you can live a more fulfilling life.
Yeah, definitely. I think during our breaks, it shouldn't be too far off from what you're studying, what you're aiming to be, or the kind of life that you want to live as an individual. I feel that those things as collectives, collected together, all make your lifestyle, I think. You choose what works for you. So for the art students, I think having a day out would be you going to, I don't know, an exhibition or a gallery or something of that nature, you know, something that's still within your faculty, but also takes your mind off the actual theory and all that stuff. But I feel like as individuals, we all have different things. We're podcasters, that's what we do in our spare time, that's our hobby, you know. But other people choose to do something else. So it all depends on the individual. Like I said, a deeper understanding of self. I think self-exploration is also quite an important part of being a human being. And I feel like we often forget that this phase in our lives and education as a whole, it's not just about the degree or whatever qualification you're going for. It's about molding yourself to become a certain type of person. It's more than just a degree or an occupation that we're going towards, but we're building lives to become actual people. You understand? So it's all about your choices and what works for you, but also still, I wouldn't say not losing yourself. Not losing yourself in the process is very important because it's either you lose yourself to fun times or you lose yourself to books and then you forget about yourself and your well-being as well as your mental health.
Wow, that was so profound. I really love that, this is an important stage in our lives whereby we get to explore ourselves and we are building towards the lives that we want to lead. I think that's something we miss, perhaps, that if we are so focused on school and everything like that, when we're done, work will ex will basically replace school. So if we don't find a balance
Exactly.
now,
Now
then we will
we'll
never find
drown.
that balance again,
Exactly.
and it's just crazy. I was actually talking to my friend today, and he was telling me that he was in hospital. I don't know, something almost happened with his vein, almost burst or something like that, because of the amount of stress that he has, because of
Yeah.
school, So I think that's such an example of how school can be so overbearing and overwhelming on us as students. So finding that balance between everything and just trying to get that rest, I think is very important. And when it comes to the whole idea of productivity or being efficient, being able to do more with the time that you have, what mistakes do we make that perhaps prevent us from being productive or from being efficient when it comes to, managing our workload and being productive?
I think procrastination. We always procrastinate and think that we can finish something in a day when we've already had a month to do it. And then we get lost in that whole time is just a construct type of thing or a man-made thing. But it's actually important to understand that you need to calculate your time according to how much work you have. So I feel like we don't calculate properly, we don't strategize properly. That's where we lose the focus. That's where we then lose ourselves also in this workload and this pile where you feel like you can't do one assignment in one day and finish it. That's almost impossible. I feel like the workload, there is a lot of work, but it only piles up when we leave it till the last minute. So I think, yeah, that's one of our mistakes is feeling as though we can do so much in such little time when it's impossible. And also the comforts, I feel like we're too comfortable with also sometimes the results that we get through doing things at the last minute. You know, you're so comfortable with the C when you could have actually taken more time to work on something and gotten better results. Or sometimes just doing things for the sake of at this point. You know, I feel like that's our biggest mistakes is just wanting to get through also and not actually understanding what we're doing or studying, I feel. But I've made my own mistakes and my mistakes were estimating time and feeling as though I can do it today and finish it today and submit it today and it's due today, you know? That last minute adrenaline, it's crazy, it's fun, very risky, and I would not recommend it. But I feel like that's really one of my biggest mistakes is maybe also being overconfident and cocky and thinking, yeah, I can definitely do it in one night. Yeah.
Wow, that was so crazy. I can definitely relate to that. I always just overestimate the amount of time that I have. I'm like, if I've got a month
Yeah.
to do this, Yeah, I'll just do it maybe in 2 weeks or not this week and keep pushing it. There's an analogy that I heard someone use that eat the frog, you know. Every day, let's say there's a frog that you have to eat. You don't want to eat it, but you have to eat it at the end of the day. If you don't eat it now,
Yeah.
it'll pile up again and you'll have two frogs to
Exactly.
eat tomorrow. So I think it's something which is very important for us to understand that we need to eat the frog. Do what you have to do today while you still have the chance, you know, because
Have
the problem is
time.
that we think we have time, but we really don't. And I really love that point
We don't.
that you mentioned, Uti. We settle for the marks that we have right now, I mean, that we get from the last minute, whereby we could have gotten more, you know, if we had used the time that
Yeah.
we, because if you do something now, you
Wisely.
don't have the time to correct it, to change things, to do better. You just do what you have to do.
Last minute
Ex
adrenaline, the thrill,
exactly.
exactly. To piece it together.
Imagine if you had more time to change things, improve upon them. Yeah, it's just crazy. And I really hope that, you know, we stop doing that and we become, you know, better. Maybe what is one tip perhaps from you that I can employ or someone else who's listening that can help us, you know, to stop procrastinating, to eat the frog today? Like, it's a mindset
Yeah.
thing, obviously, but what is something which is practical that I can do, you know, to you know, definitely stop that?
Well, I like the analogy of eating the frog, right? But also to be able to digest it, you can't swallow it in one go,
Yeah.
right? So you're going to start with, okay, I can't make the analogy of a frog because I don't eat meat. But you'd have to go bit by bit. You'll start with, okay, it's a very uncomfortable analogy, but I'll have to.
Yeah.
So you're gonna start with the feet, maybe. You're gonna start with the feet, and then you'll go to the whatever body part there is. So how I feel we should is allocating time to whatever you're working towards. So an assignment, for example, right? It's just a practical example. There's five questions, and you schedule your time. For assignments, you probably have more than 2 weeks. So if you have five questions, you know you have 5 days to work on it, right? And during those 5 days, day one is for question one. Day two is for question two. Day three is for question three. Day four is for question four. Day five is for question five. And then after you've finished all of that, you have time to also consult with other sources, see if you've done enough work, see if it's if you can improve anything, if you can phrase things differently. And then once you're happy with what you've produced, you then can submit it, I feel. Even for studying, that's the same method I use, is if I have 5 chapters to study, for example, I use the same 5-day system. And then over the weekend, I might go through past papers and then see how much I still need to do. You understand? So an hour goes a long way in terms of studying. One chapter could do a great deal for you a day. So in a day, you could study for just 1 hour, but that's already something done. You haven't eaten the entire frog, but you're halfway there in a week. So 5 hours a week is quite a lot to get stuff done if you allocate time properly. Sometimes even 2 hours, you have to calculate it according to how many modules you have probably or how much work you have. And then the dates also very important because dates are quite important for you to know what goes first and what you should finish first and after that. Because people also have this overload of work where they have papers today, tomorrow, next week, or 2 papers in 1 day or 3 papers, and it's quite a lot. But if you allocate time and work efficiently, then you can definitely do it. As long as you break it up into pieces where you feel like, today I've done enough. One chapter for 1 day is good enough because that's something. At least you did something. You don't have to read the entire textbook today to feel like you've done something.
Wow, I really, really love that. And I myself will start employing that because I'm someone who's very disorganized to an extent, you know, and my just mind just gets frazzled when there's just so much that I can't, you know, get around. Or yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. But like, I just want to know from you then, you know, you did say that studying perhaps 1 hour is enough, you know, per day. Perhaps in terms of looking what at our typical day could look like, as students. Obviously, it varies because we are different people and things like that, but what can we, do to make our days more productive in terms of like typical day in the life of a student?
So what I would advise and what has been working for me, I would say, I know at this point I probably live like a 60-year-old, but I'm 20, because by 9 o'clock, by 9 o'clock I'm probably in bed, right? Well, that differs because other people like partying or they like going out or whatever. But on a Sunday, for example, 9 o'clock, I'm already in bed. After that, in the morning, I'll wake up 6 o'clock. If I want to go to the gym just to blow off some steam, I would strictly advise working out or exercising of any form. It differs. People differ. I prefer swimming. Someone would like to, lifting weights or whatever they would like to do. And doing that definitely uplifts and gives you a bit of confidence, because in terms of things like exercising and sports, you get to challenge yourself. You set a goal for yourself. So if I, at the beginning of this year, you would know, I would share it on my social media as well, my WhatsApp. I do laps. I'd started at 30. I went from 30 to 40 laps, 50 laps. And in high school, which is crazy, my high school teacher would be shocked because I wouldn't even want to finish one. Right? So I challenge myself like that every single morning, and that's like that victory at the beginning of your day. It gives you some self-confidence, like, whoa, I did 50 laps today. You feel good, you feel great, and then you get a healthy breakfast. I feel like we always skip breakfast and we rush to get a coffee or energy drink. That's not so good. I would not advise that. We need the energy. But we are growing people. We are adults now, so we our bodies need to eat a balanced meal, balanced breakfast, a good breakfast, and then after that, you can start your day however you want to. Maybe if you want to start with studying, so that you just get that out of the way for that time, you can then hit the books for a good minute or two, go outside, get some fresh air, do whatever you want to. Also, call your loved ones, speak to people to keep your mind open and not so focused on just this thing that's, challenging you. So I that's what it would look like for me. Also having fun is important. You study, have fun, go out, see trees, sit on grass and have a good day and enjoy the present moment, I think. It's also very good.
I think you just, laid it out for everyone to hear and to, start making some serious changes. I like, the parallel that I'm trying to sound fancy here, but I'm probably not using it correctly. But the whole health and wellness aspect of it, and how it's important as well, and how it contributes
Very
to your
important.
success as a student. I think everything that you mentioned, the social aspect, being able to connect with friends, having fun as well, being healthy, all those things, they have some sort of influence and impact in your life as a student. And I think it's really, really important. And I really wish and pray that each and every one of us could start employing and implementing that today, from today. Go to swim tomorrow, like unqobile or something like that, or go running. I definitely should
Yeah, that's
start
also a good
doing
one.
yeah I should start doing something. I'm really, really bad, honestly. I stay inside the whole day. I'm definitely going to start doing something to be better.
Yeah, something to keep your mind off stuff. Even if you're a writer, write something. If you paint, paint something. Just flow. Just let your creativity flow. Have a platform where you're able to express your creativity in some type of way. Make beaded jewelry, make whatever you want to do, as long as it makes you happy and you find some sort of comfort in it. Sometimes also just chilling, watching TV or a movie, that's also a good thing to do in the middle of your studies, because it also just stimulates you in some type of way. Just as long as you're good mentally, in a good place, then I feel like your approach for your studies as well would be good. And also, something I'd like to add, complaining. Yo, I hate complaining. I
Yeah,
hate people who complain.
me
I
too.
don't like people who complain, honestly, because I feel like complaining attracts more issues, attracts more troubles, and it's not a good attitude to have in life. Bad things happen, of course, but just know that it's you're gonna overcome it, okay? It's happened, it's bad, it's rough, but you've been through it, so let's go, you know, keep it going. I feel it's all about how you handle things is what matters.
That's so true. And I think, students, that's the thing that, unites them so much. That's the first thing that they do, complain about how hard something was, something is, the assignments and things like that. And it's like we have nothing
Yeah.
else to talk about besides complaining. And so that's what we do. But that negative energy is something that we don't really need in our lives.
Not at
Because
all. Not at all.
it drags us down. So let's try and be positive, guys, and really be better. Because if you are optimistic and more positive, then that's what you
You
attract.
attract better
Yeah,
things. Yeah.
exactly. And I think perhaps to look at the last thing, what are some of the tools, if there are any, resources, maybe apps, in terms of productivity or time management, even if it's the calendar or to-do list, whatever it is, what are some of the tools or resources we can use, or books we can read, which can help us, in terms of being more efficient, as students?
Well, I don't use any. I have no recommendations, but I think you would have that calendar system of yours is quite resourceful. However, I feel like the to-do list is quite essential as well. Knowing what you're going to do in the day, whether it be it but the night before or the day on on that day, at least have a list of about five things that you want to accomplish by the end of the day, and then stick to that. Like that's what you're doing. Nothing else besides what you need to do first, and then after that you can freestyle your way during the day. But you can give us some insights on the calendar system because you've got quite some
Who's
knowledge on
who's interviewing who now?
that.
But yeah, I think I definitely love that having a to-do list is so important. It also, gives you a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day, once you are able to achieve that. But yeah, I use Asana. It's a really great project management type of system. It's an app. It's also available on desktop. So yeah, you can just put whatever you want to do there, whichever projects. You can even divide your studies, your modules and things like that. And yeah, whatever you need to do. Trello is another one, and Notion, although Notion is a bit buggy when it comes to your cell phone. But yeah, Trello, Asana, we'll link them down below so that you guys can go and check them out. They really, really are great. And perhaps I'll even make a tutorial on how you guys can use it. You can find it maybe on our
Yeah.
YouTube page. But yeah, we'll definitely update you guys about that. And thank you very much, Mobile, for everything that you've shared, thus far, for today's episode. But we don't want you to leave, without telling us about your podcast. We know that you still haven't recorded season two. I'm very, very, very upset about that. So can you please just tell us a bit about your podcast and what we can expect for the next season that is upcoming?
All right, so my podcast is titled The Ball Conquers. It's a manual and guide on how to overcome life's adversities. So similarly to the conversations we had today, where we spoke about procrastination and also failures and so forth, a lot of the adversities that we face in life generally as people for all age groups, it's categorized as a self-help podcast. So if you are looking for self-awareness and some depth and knowledge about yourself, and you want to connect with yourself and also have a high sense of self, if you want to start now and build that, then it's definitely something that you would wants to tune into. Season 2 is on the way. It's definitely on the way. Definitely on the way. Season 2, I want to go more into diving in more deeper conversations in depth, and I'm hoping to interview quite a few people, yourself included.
Oh yes.
Where we speak about other people's adversities and how they faced them, how they overcame that, because season 1 was mainly just my perspective and things I've experienced, not in a very deep scale, but you know, just the surface, to give people an idea on like what to expect on my podcast. And
I really, really can't wait for season 2. I mean, so much value that you've shared with us on today's episode as it is. And I definitely recommend anyone who's listening to this to go check out The Bull Conquers. You know, it really goes, I know she says it's not in depth, but she really, you know, goes in depth, you know, in terms of her own experiences. And the insights there, you know, which were shared there was so, so amazing. And I definitely, yeah, hope that you guys check it out. It'll be linked down below. So, yeah, I think that is it. Maybe you can just say goodbye to the listeners. In my other podcast, I usually say that, you know, I'm lazy to close off the show. Then I let the other guests close off the show because they are podcasters themselves. But in this show, I never do that because we don't usually have podcasters. So please.
Am I closing it off? Oh my goodness.
Please close off the show. And yeah, take us home.
Well, firstly, I'd like to thank you for having me today. And hopefully all that I've shared helps someone somewhere, somehow. Everything that I've spoken about from my point of view obviously stems from my own experiences. As individuals and students, I feel like it's okay to also make mistakes and be able to forgive yourself. So I hope today's episode heals you wherever you've gotten traumas or where you've made mistakes, and you're able to move on from that and become a better person. And that's all we have, folks, for today's episode. My name is Nqobile Mdladla, and I don't know how to close this one off. Thank you for having me, Lindo.
That's all we have for today's episode. Make sure that you do follow us on our social media pages at youth412_ZA. Make sure that you connect with us, talk to us, tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like. And yeah, let's connect and let's be friends. See you next time on Youth 412. Remember, young people, do not let anyone look down on you because you're young. Rather, set an example to other young believers in conduct, in conversation, in spirit, and in love, faith, and purity. God bless.